Dear God, we thank you, O Lord, for the beauty, O Lord God, of coming before your presence to be in the Holy of Holies where you are. We thank you, O Lord, for the imagery also of your Son when he said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And elsewhere he said, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and shall be given to you. So Lord, we come to you, O Lord God, humbly this morning, declaring our total dependence upon you, Lord, that apart from you, we are nothing. You know, O Lord God, every details of the lives of our brothers and sisters, Lord, at the hearing of my voice. Lord, the petitions, Lord God, of their hearts, Lord, and in their life's journey. And we know, O Lord God, that you are able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ask or even imagine. So, Father God, we present to you our hearts today in our life's journey and petitions. We expect great things from you, Lord, because you're a great God. Lord, it's even hard for us to grasp the testimony of Scripture that even the number of hairs in our heads are known by you. You know when we go to bed, Lord, and we rise up, and you know when we get into that car and drive and go to our workplace or our schools. You know everything, oh Lord, and that's so awesome for us, Lord God, to even to grasp. Thank you for your everlasting love. That love, oh Lord God, is like an ocean, oh Lord God. It's endless, and we just plunge into that ocean of your love, Lord, today. May you receive, O Lord God, your people and talk to your people in a powerful way today. That our lives, O Lord God, would be transformed and be in a place that is pleasant before thee. We thank you, O Lord God, for the promise that you will never, never leave us. You will never, never forsake us. This is our strength. This is our peace as we journey along our life. Believing, O Lord God, that one day our faith will become sight, O Lord God, and there would be this glorious reunion, O Lord God, of those who have gone ahead of us in that place of glory, in that place of rest. Allow us, O Lord God, to run the race, O Lord God, that have set before us the assignment and the purpose by which, O Lord God, you have created us. We present ourselves to you this hour in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. God is so good. And all the time. Even though you feel so bad that Pacquiao lost last night. Maybe you'll have another chance. But we pray for the best. We were expecting the best. And so the best came forth. Right? So, as I try to look at your eyes over here, you have eye bugs. I don't know whether it's from staying up late or from crying. So, but God is good. I'll be talking this morning, sharing about a life that is worth living. And this is such a powerful thought. It's a powerful topic for each and every one of us. That life is truly worth living, right? And this is so if life, the life that you're living is directed by a purpose. without a purpose, a lot of people succumb to depression, they succumb to an emotional spin. And it so happened that I am actually a part of the assigned chaplain in the psych unit. And in the psych unit, most frequently I would be hearing people saying, I have no purpose, I have no meaning. And so the unimaginable prerequisite or unimaginable things that are not supposed to be thought of or considered of has been considered, which is trying to help out God by ending things up. There is power in purpose. Time was created for purpose. And the thing about time, too, is that it is irreversible. There's no such thing as, let's rewind this thing. Let's rewind this day. I'm disappointed with this day. No, whatever has been burnt this day will remain forever. So it is a drive for each and every one of us not to miss our purpose, because we will never see this time again. The greatest tragedy in this world is wasted time or lost time. And so with this, we could connect this with also the reality that the wealthiest place in the planet is not actually the gold mines in South Africa or the diamond hills in Johannesburg or the oil fields in Iraq or Iran or Saudi Arabia. The wealthiest place in the planet actually is in the graveyard. Because in the graveyard we have ideas, we have inventions, we have books and artwork that has not been written. And because time has run out, it's just dissipated to nothingness. And people are, whether you are young or you're old, people are pregnant with something, with an idea. You know, we go to school, the children go to school with this idea, I'm going to be a scientist, I'm going to be a doctor, I'm going to be whatever there is. Okay? And usually it's so high. It's not, I'm not going to be a, you're not thinking to be like a garbage collector or anything like that. It's it all starts way up there, right? So the question would be, what is the purpose that I am here? That's the greatest question that each and every one of us needs to ask. Now, God, when He created things, He didn't create things just for the sake of creating things. Like in Genesis chapter 1, it says there, and God created the heavens and the earth, right? God has a purpose for creating. Actually, all things that has been created is not because God. When you look at that scripture in Genesis chapter 1, it says there, in the beginning God created. God did not begin when He created, because God is from eternity past, and He is also in eternity future, and eternity has been interrupted by creation, because He had a purpose for that. So we could add actually in our spirit a number there. It's Genesis chapter 1 verse 0, not Genesis 1:1 in the beginning, right? In Genesis 1:0, by faith we could read it this way: in the beginning, God created the beginning. Or God started, God did not start it when God created start. He was from eternity past and eternity future. So once we have the answer to why, did God created these things and why did God created me, then we will have a sense of purpose, isn't it? So why gives us purpose? Or why is purpose? So what's in your mind? Where are you going? Or how do you get there? The what, the where, the how pales in comparison to the why. Because why is tied up with purpose. If you have your Bibles with you, I would like to invite you to open it to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1. And here's the word that we could read, Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 2. And we are familiar with this. The writer says, meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. What does man gain from all his labor at which he toils under the sun? Going to chapter 2, starting verse number 1, it says here, I thought in my heart, come now, I will test you with pleasure to find out what is good, but that also to prove to be meaningless. Laughter, I said, is foolish. And what does pleasure accomplish? I tried cheering myself with wine and embracing folly. My mind will still guiding me with wisdom. I wanted to see what was worthwhile for men to do under heaven during the few days of his life. I undertook great projects. I built houses for myself and planted vineyards. I made gardens and parks and planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made reservoirs to water groves to flourishing trees. I bought male and female slaves and had other slaves who were born in my house. I also owned more herds and flocks than anyone in Jerusalem before me. I amassed silver and gold for myself and the treasure of kings and provinces. I acquired men and women, singers and harem, as well the delights of the heart of men. I became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me. In all this, my wisdom stayed with me. I denied myself nothing my eyes desire. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my work, and this was the reward for my labor. Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. Isn't that miserable? Here we are chasing these things and then coming to the conclusion after having it to be nothing and meaningless. This man knew what he had, but did not know why he had it. So we could have all these things, and maybe even more than what he had, if we could compete with him, and we were chasing for him. But come to the conclusion that it is meaningless because we don't know why. So if you're living in this world, and I'm living in this world without the answer for that why, we would end up with the same thing. Because why is purpose? The only thing worse than death is life without a purpose. That's worse. And there's a lot of people that are living that actually are living dead. They're bored. They have no purpose. They have no drive. And we have been there before. I would like to go to five truths of the power of purpose. And purpose could be defined as the original intent of the creation of the thing. The original intent of the creator of the thing, creation of the thing. So God has an original intent for each and every one of us. You are not an accident. I am not an accident. There is a purpose for you being here. Somebody told that, you know, I'm not, this is not malicious, okay? When you were created, there were 600 million cells competing with you to get to that egg. 600 million cells, and you won. And there's no one like you in this planet. No one like you. And that's powerful, isn't it? So they said that here in Houston, there are like, what, 8 million people going to the city at a time and going out every day. But we're talking about 600 million cells. I feel good about myself already. So, number one, five truths about the power of purpose is that this. God is the God of purpose. God interrupted eternity for a purpose. God did not create things for the sake of creating things. Actually, there's a reflection here in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. It says here, in Him we have been chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will. He has a purpose. He's a God of purpose. You are not an accident. Number two, nothing in life is without a purpose. Nothing. If He created everything, He created the cockroach, right? Some people will say, cockroach. Or the flies, or the lions, and the... He has a purpose for everything. He has a purpose for the hairs inside your nose. Or inside your ear. There's a purpose for it. God is so wise that sometimes we don't understand how the magnitude of His wisdom. So nothing in life is without a purpose. I would like to add here also, God has a purpose for tobacco. He has a purpose for opium. Would you like to go to the doctor's office without sedation in your teeth? We don't want that, right? So there's a purpose for this. It's all linked up with what God has created. Number three, not every purpose is known. Now, this is a dilemma of some ecologists. You know, sometimes they spray so much chemical, let's control the bugs. Now, when the bugs were killed, we have all these problems coming in that's eating our crops because we don't have the bugs that is controlling those things. So animals, there are some animals that are extinct right now, that the role of those animals, actually, when you think about it, is for what is normal, to make things work out properly. So not every purpose is known. Number four, where purpose is unknown, abuse is inevitable. When purpose is unknown, abuse is inevitable. Have you ever heard, we sure have heard about child abuse, right? Or wife abuse? Or husband abuse. Yes, we could be abused too. Amen? How about the wives? Amen? Pastors could also be abused. Well, pastor, could you visit me? Somebody called me at 2 a.m. I was doing on call. And when I pick up the phone... The nurse said, the patient couldn't sleep. Please, could you kindly pray for the patient that couldn't sleep? It's 2 a.m. And I couldn't sleep after praying for her. Now it's my turn to be prayed for. They said that abuse, actually, that's a double word. Abuse is a double word, they said. The original word would be saying, abnormal use. So, I think the Texans are good also in saying, y'all. Y'all, they combine the word, right? You all, y'all, or ain't. You know, is not, but this is also the same with that. So where purpose is unknown, abuse is inevitable. Number five, purpose is the only is only found in the mind of the creator of the thing. Purpose is only found in the mind of the creator of the thing. When you buy certain appliances, the creator of the thing would be saying, "Don't use this near fire," or "Don't use this near water," because the creator of the thing knows exactly what will happen when you do that. So they have manuals. But in our case, we have a manual. The manual that is from everlasting to everlasting. Psalms 119, 9 and 11, it says there, "How could a young man make his way pure? By living according to thy word. Thy word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee." The manual is saying that. Because God has something for you, a plan for you here on earth. Other scriptures would be saying also in Joshua 1:8, it says there, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written on it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Some people are focusing on success and prosperity without referring to the manual, without journeying with the manual. And God is so eager to disclose His plan, His mind on why we are here through the Word. Psalms 32:8, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you." He wants you to function within the mind of His purpose for you. Of course, we have Jeremiah 29:11, our favorite, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." If we would ask for you to raise your hands for, do you want to be blessed? Do you want to be prosperous? And all that, we'll say yes. God has a plan specifically for you in mind. That plan. You are the only one who could occupy that plan that the Lord has in His mind. Amen? John 12:27. "Now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour." Jesus knew why He came. He knew the purpose by which He came here on earth for us. Thank God we have a Savior like that. So now we would be asking the important question, why are we here? Why am I here? There's a powerful scripture over here in the book of Acts. Acts 17:24. It says here, "The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by hands. And He is not served by human hands as if He needed anything, because He Himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man He made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. And He determined," watch this part over here, watch this part, "and He determined the times set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek Him and perhaps reach out for Him and find Him." So, you being in Houston, Texas, is not an accident. Us being living in Pearland is not an accident. There's a purpose behind us where we are located. Matthew 5:16, "In the same way, let your light shine so that men may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Sounds like a purpose, right? So there's a purpose for your living, and there's a purpose also for you in that place to shine and let the people glorify your Father who is in heaven. And here's that verse again in Ephesians 1:11 and 12. It says there, "In Him we have been chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will." He works it out. We scratch our head sometimes. We'd be saying, you know, why did that happen? You know, but God has a purpose. When Joseph was in the well, and he was looking at the mud inside the well, he would be saying, you know, this is not what I've seen. What I have seen is that the 11 stars would bow down, the sun and the moon would bow down, and you know, there's this thing that he has, not the mud, but God has a purpose for bringing him down in that well and for him to be sold as a slave. In Ephesians chapter 11 again, chapter 1 again, there's this powerful scripture here. It says here, "And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Jesus, in order that in the coming ages we might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one could boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Romans 14:7. "For none of us lives to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone. If we live, we live for the Lord. If we die, we die for the Lord." So whether we live or whether we die, we belong to the Lord. Amen? Such a powerful purpose for each and every one of us. God assigns every generation a part in the overall master plan of His creation program. You are not an accident. There's a specific role that you have, that I have, in this time and in this generation for the glory of God. Amen? If you're dozing off, I know you watched Pacquiao last night. So I'm very merciful today. Numbers 10:29-32. This is a very interesting part of the story of the Exodus. Remember during the Exodus, Moses' father-in-law showed up? So this is the section of scripture there. Numbers 10:29-32. And it says here, "Now Moses said to Hobab, son of Reuel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, 'We are setting out for the place about which the Lord said, I will give it to you. Come with us, and we will treat you well, for the Lord has promised good things to Israel.'" Great things the Lord has promised to Israel. But what did this man say? He said, "No, I will not go. I am going back to my own land and my own people." But Moses said, "Please do not leave us. You know where we should camp in the desert, and you can be our eyes. If you come with us, we will share with you whatever good things the Lord gives us." You know, we are in a journey in this life that we know that we know that we are headed to heaven, aren't we? We know the desert. You know, the trials, the pains, the shame, and whatever stories there is has been deposited in our lives through the experiences that we have. We know the desert. And we know the places in the desert to take refuge from. But unfortunately, also, just like the father-in-law of Moses, there are opportunities that we could have testified about the Lord and make our light shine for the glory of God, and we said no. We said no. And I'm not saying that, you know, opportunities and grace would not follow us. God is so merciful. But this is such a powerful part of the journey of Israel that when Moses says, "Do not leave us, you know where we should camp in the desert, and you can be our eyes." We are the eyes of the Lord in this generation. We are the mouthpiece of the Lord in this generation. No one else. Not the rocks, not the walls, not those people that are believing differently about the Lord Jesus Christ. But it falls down to us. It falls down to me. Because I'm not exempt. 1 Corinthians 15:58, "Therefore give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." It's not in vain, brothers and sisters, what we do for Him in the desert until we reach the promised land. Let God have the upper hand to guide you to His purpose. No one else could feel that purpose but you. This is a life worth living when you find your purpose in Him. I would like to invite our song leaders, our praise team, to come over here in front. And as they come, maybe you thirst for, "Lord, I think I'm not really sitting well in the purpose that you have for me in my life. I feel that there's more to what you have in mind for me for the reason that I am here." You know, those kind of dialogues. And maybe you're pregnant with something in your spirit and you know that this pregnancy is from the Lord, and you just want to push out this child. This pregnant thing, this dream, this vision, this thing that would glorify God and honor God in the desert. I would like to open this place where you could can talk to the Lord about this, about His purpose for you. And actually, it is even without you, the Lord's purpose shall prevail. I hope you would not say no, just like the father-in-law of Moses, because Israel still ended up in the promised land without him. Because God's purpose will prevail. I'd rather be part of that purpose than to be exempt in the purpose of God. Proverbs 19:21. "Many are the plans of the hearts of men, but the purpose of God shall prevail." I'd rather be part in participating to the purpose of God. And that is life, a life worth living. Let us fight a good fight. Let us keep the faith. Let us run the race for a life that is worth living. Let us pray. Dear God, we come to you today, O Lord God, because we know that we are not an accident. There is a purpose for each and every one of us, O Lord God, in this life. And Lord, your purpose is specific. It is specific, Lord. Each and every one of us has a role. Each and every one of us is not an accident. There is a purpose behind our living. Father God, as your people, Lord, we thirst, Lord God. We are excited about that purpose, Lord God, that you have for us in the desert. Lord, being an eye to those friends or families, Lord God, that couldn't see. being a mouthpiece, O Lord God, of your glory and your grace, O Lord God, that there is, O Lord God, a life worth living in this world. Lord, let nothing move us, Lord. Help us, Lord God, to give ourselves fully to the work, your work, Lord God. And we pray, Father God, may you bless your people, Lord God. Even as they talk to you today, O Lord God, as they are seated, Lord, in their chairs, Lord. They're pregnant for something, O Lord. And I pray that you bless that pregnancy, O Lord God, in their spirit, Lord God, their desire to honor you, O Lord, their plans, Lord, maybe inventions, O Lord God, that you have settled, Lord God, in their spirit that they need to pray for, O Lord God, and gush out, Lord God, and make change, O Lord God, in their lives, in the lives of their families, in the lives of their friends. Lord, we bless you today, Lord. And Lord, as we open up, O Lord God, this pulpit, Lord God, for your people, Lord, don't just receive, O Lord God, the prayers, Lord God, in their lips as they sit down. If they feel, Lord God, the urge, Lord God, to come to the pulpit, O Lord God, as a gesture, Lord God, of saying, Lord, I thirst for your purpose, may you receive that confession, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father.